I speak to you briefly this morning on the subject of crucified with Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I have three simple questions I want to ask today and try to answer them. The first one is, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? I've defined it in this way. It refers to a believer who spiritually identifies with Christ and his resurrection so that he dies to himself in order that Christ might live through him. There's a lot in that definition. Paul puts it this way in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He says it this way. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Someone were to ask me today, what is the greatest need within the church? I would simply say it's this. It's for people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior to be crucified with Christ. I believe we're living in a day when we think about our lives and examine our own hearts. It's not that we're not interested in God or in the things of God. It's not that we don't read our Bible or pray or attend church or Sunday school or all the various activities that we commonly associate with the Christian life. It is that we are really not living the crucified life. A life that has been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I that live, but it is Christ who lives through me. I would ask you the question this morning. Have you been crucified with Christ? You might say, well, Pastor, I'm not exactly sure what all you mean by that, except I suppose if I look at my life and think about my life, really much of the time I am the one who's living. Life tends to be about me, not so much about him. And maybe this morning, as a result of hearing this young man and his willingness to sacrifice his life for the sake of our country, the Spirit of God, it would impress upon you the need for you to be willing as a child of God to sacrifice yourself unto the Lord. For your life to be described as not you living, but Christ living through you. When people think of you, when they look at your life, when they examine your lifestyle, do they see Christ or do they see you? That's what we're talking about this morning. You might say, well, you know, I'm interested in that. I'd like that to be truly if something happened to me and my life were taken and it ended much quicker than maybe what I ever expected. I would like to be known as an individual that truly, to see this individual would be to see Christ in him. How do I do that? That's my second question this morning. How does a person become crucified with Christ? Well, first of all, you've got to know him. You've got to know him as your own personal Savior. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There needs to be a time in your life when you truly repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, knowing that your sin has been forgiven, knowing that if you died today that you'd go to heaven. But then I believe there's more to that, living a crucified life than just receiving the Lord. In fact, this morning, if I were to say how many of you have received Christ as your Savior, you know on the basis of what Christ did upon the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, you know you go to heaven. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, most everyone here this morning would raise a hand. But simply raising a hand or receiving the Lord or praying a prayer doesn't necessarily mean that you're really living the crucified life. And so there's a second part I want to share. Not only knowing him as your personal Savior, but also you must die to yourself in order that Christ might live through you. The passage, in fact, if you want to turn there briefly, John chapter 12 and verse 25. John chapter 12, they referred to this. In fact, if you back up to verse 23, it says it this way. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And here's the way it's described here. "He that loveth his life, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it into life eternal." In other words, if you're really going to be a crucified child of God, one that has been crucified with Christ, you've got to get to the point in your life where you no longer try to hold on to it. You no longer love your life. In fact, your love for the Lord and your relationship with the Lord grows with such intensity that the love you have for Christ in compared to the love that you have for yourself in your own life appears to be as hatred. It says, "He that loveth his life and shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it." In other words, you grow to a point in your life where life is not about you. And every time you slip back into that pattern, that trench, where you're living life like it's about you, you're thinking from the perspective of how does it affect you. You're making decisions and doing things because it's all about you. You've just moved away from the very thing that the Lord wants you to, very way in which the Lord wants you to live. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, Paul says it this way, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live," notice, "should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Can I ask you the question this morning? Are you living to yourself? Now, I didn't say, are you completely, totally selfish, where all you do is think about yourself? I could describe it this way. As you look at how you live for God and your intensity and fervency and commitment and passion about God, and you contrast that with your concern or your focus about yourself, how do they compare? You see, someone who's living a crucified life, who has truly died to self, upon the throne of his heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get up in the morning, you're thinking about Christ. As you go throughout your day, you're concerned about Christ. You're proclaiming Christ. Everything is about Christ. When you get to the end of your day, you're rejoicing over the goodness of God, allowing you to have lived another day for Christ. He becomes everything to you. He is everything to you. As I look out over the spectrum and the horizon of Christianity today, I see a Christianity that has grown soft, that has grown self-centered and self-focused, that has moved away from words like commitment and sacrifice and surrender and dedication and consecration, to a Christianity that kind of has pushed Christ to the periphery, to the edge of their lives, but not really at the center of lives. And yet I believe with all of my heart this morning that as we think about what Christ has done for us, we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And yet God, with an everlasting love, sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us. And if He died for us, then how can we then live unto ourselves? You might say, well, Pastor, that's the kind of life I'd really like to live. But it's hard. It's so easy for me to think about now and to live my life for now and to think about the sacrifices and the cost that it will be to me if I really truly live all out for the Lord, all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet this passage, I believe, also tells us of some results of the crucified life. What are those results? Well, first of all, in verse 24, he says this, "You will bear much fruit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die," notice, "it abideth alone." That grain of wheat that has never been put into the ground and has never died, it is just simply that, a grain of wheat. There will be no more to it. But the grain of wheat that has fallen into the ground, that has died, and in our case has died to self, it says, it will bring forth much fruit. We know this, but one of these days we're all going to die. Life as we now know it, living the physical life that we have as we're here upon this earth, is going to come to an end. It'll be over. And yes, just like Jonathan, there'll be a remembrance of you. People will think about you. But what will they say? How will they see you? Will there be anyone that you have impacted, not just for time, but you have impacted for eternity? Is there going to be anyone that you have personally opened your Bible and led to Christ, that you have personally discipled and helped grow in Christ? Is there going to be anyone that you've impacted? Is there going to be any fruit that will be your fruit? A crucified person has fruit. John chapter 15 and verse 5 says this, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." So there's fruit. Secondly, there's fellowship. Notice verse 26. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be." There's a rich fellowship that you have with Christ when you've been crucified with him. As Paul looked back upon his life, he looked back to a point where he saw himself as having died with Christ. But there was a rich fellowship that became his, that grew with intensity and with closeness and with joy. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 talks about it. "That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." I see so many Christians today that are casually going about their Christianity. It's not that we're not interested in God or even the things of God, but there's not a richness. There's not a depth. There's not a substance. There's not a deep, abiding joy that comes as a result of communing and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for you, the one that you this morning can consider yourself, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to Christ, who have been crucified with him. And the joy of being able to fellowship with him and commune with him as a result of your life having been put to death with his. And then thirdly, this passage also talks about favor that is yours. Notice the end of verse 26. "And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor." You're going to have God's favor. As you look throughout the scriptures, there are many people that you could examine and say, here is a guy that had God's favor. One that came to mind for me was in Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel had been praying this great prayer and he had been asking God to hear his prayer. The 70 years of captivity was up, and he, as he began to read the prophet of Jeremiah, he was praying for God to bring deliverance to his own people. And the answer came, and it was said in this way: "He informed me, this angel, and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee," notice, "for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Let me ask you the question this morning. Are you greatly beloved by God because you've been crucified with Christ? There's a special blessing that is awaiting you this morning to anyone who is a child of God that will really be crucified with Christ. I mean, completely surrendered and given over to God, considering yourself having been put to death with Christ in His crucifixion. As you give yourself to Him, there's a special favor that God has for those who are completely surrendered of soul, yielded to Him, available to Him. Daniel was beloved. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, Jesus said this of John the Baptist, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Here was a man that was honored. Who was John? He was just a guy out in the wilderness saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He lived a very meager life. He dressed in rough clothes. He ate stuff that we would never think about eating, that's for sure. And yet his whole life was about Christ. Can I ask you that question this morning? What is your life about? What will you be remembered for? But they think of, well, there's a guy who had a good job, or he was a very capable individual in this area, or he was this, or he was that. Or would they say, there is a man, a woman, a young man, a young woman who was aflame for Christ, who was passionate about Christ. Every time he spoke, he would speak of Christ. Every thought he thought, it would be about Christ. Every deed that he did, it was motivated by something to do with Christ. That's what it means to be crucified with Christ. As I was thinking about this, the missionary came to mind who was known for having given his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking of Jim Elliot. Most of you know the story. The 50s and the Aka Indians, and he was a man, even during his years of preparation, was known to be a man that was passionate about Christ. In fact, these words were written when he was at Wheaton College years ago. He said this, "Am I ignitable? God deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit that I may be a flame, but flame is transient, often short-lived." How prophetic these words were. "Canst thou bear this, my soul, short life? In me there dwells the spirit of the great short-lived, whose zeal for God's house consumed me." Everybody thought that he would be a church planter in the United States, but he knew that God was calling him to the mission field. And he said these words, "Why should some hear twice when others have not even heard the gospel once?" And as I began to look at his life, I came across a quotation, and I don't know that you can read it, but this quotation he's very well known for is written in his own hand. Can you notice the date? October 28th. A little bit down, it starts, "One of the great blessings of heaven is the appreciation of heaven on earth," Ephesian truth. And then he goes on to say this, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." These are in his own handwriting from his own journals. And I began thinking of a little bit about Jim Elliot's life. You see, folks, I believe with all of my heart this morning, we have a number of believers here today. Oh, you know Christ as your Savior. But you're holding on to this world and the things of this world and the life of, that you're living in this world with great intensity this morning, with a great strong grip in your soul. And what God is wanting you to do is release all of that. And as if it were to kind of cast yourself into His arms, not only for salvation, That's just where it all begins. But for surrender of soul. To the point where when someone looks at you, thinks about you, talks about you, anything to do with you, that your life and the life of Christ is so entwined together that they cannot think of one without the other. And when your time comes to go, and we're all going to have that time unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back first, there may be a lot of things that would be said about you. You're a nice person, you were kind, you were thoughtful, you were caring, all those kind of things, sure. But they would be able to say of you, like Paul could say of himself, "For to me to live is Christ." It's all about Christ. And dear believing friend, this morning, if your life is about anything else, making money, climbing up the ladder, being successful in this world, being happy, being contented, all the kind of things that we seek after, search after, and often sacrifice in order somehow to be able to achieve. If your life is about anything else in a greater way other than Christ, you've missed out. You've missed out. Because you're not really crucified with Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we reflect upon our own lives and we allow You to examine our hearts, I pray this morning that You would help us to be honest with ourselves and to be honest with You. May we be like Jim Elliot. Lord, we're willing to give up that we cannot keep, to gain that which we cannot lose. We know there will be no sacrifice that we will ever sacrifice, no giving that we will ever do that, Lord, You will not repay back, yea, even up to 100-fold. And I pray for these dear folks here this morning, not only that they would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but Lord, that there would be people here that would be fully, totally, completely surrendered, that are living the crucified life. May it be known, Lord, that our lives are indeed are about You. I wonder, with our heads bowed and eyes closed here for just a moment, if the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Maybe your need is to receive Christ as your own personal Savior. In just a few moments, we'll have an invitation time. We'll have someone that will be prepared to take the Bible and show you directly from the Bible how you could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. For most of us here today, we've already received Christ. My question is your life about Christ? Are you living the crucified life? So we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, we lift our hearts to You. We ask, O God, this morning that You might do a deep and lasting work within our hearts. May we never be the same. There are those that need to know Christ. Lord, give them courage to come so that they can have their sin forgiven and know that they're going to heaven. For the vast majority of us, Lord, may we be honest and examine our own hearts and allow You to search us. And Lord, if our lives are about anything else other than You, if You're not first and foremost, at the very center, at the very hub of our lives, our souls, may we surrender afresh and anew. May life truly be about the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Speak to us, O Lord. Deal with us, I pray. In Jesus' name.